Romans chapter number 3. I'm not going to read a lot of verses. I want to read a few. The Bible said in verse 10, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. In verse 21, it said, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Pray with me just a moment. Father, thank you this morning for the testimonies, for the singing. Lord, more than anything, for your presence, for the sweetness of the Holy Spirit of the living God. God, how lost we would be without Him. Lord, not only lost in our sin without Him, but Lord, even since we've been saved, we would have no direction without Him. God, we pray this morning that you direct our hearts. Lord, I pray that the folk this morning would understand that there is a God in heaven. There is a heaven to gain. There is a hell to shun. And there's only one way out of hell and only one way into heaven. That way is Jesus. Lord, I'm glad I'm convinced of that. I'm glad, Lord, that from Genesis 1:1 to the last verse in Revelation 22, it's all about Him. Our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray this morning, Lord, that you'd take these few little thoughts, drill them down in our hearts, and help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't worry, I won't be before you long, but I'm going to give you a thought on the righteousness of God. The Bible said here, there's none righteous, no, not one. Let me just say, what I see in these first few verses right here is the righteousness of God is missing. I want to make a statement this morning. I want you to hear me well right here. After I read this and after I studied this and after I meditated upon this, God put some things in my heart that I want to share with you. I want you to look at some of the evidence that the righteousness of God is missing. There's none that understandeth, none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're all become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. Their tongues, they have used the seed. The poison of asp is under their lips. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Anybody ever worked on a job like that? Where they couldn't say their name without cursing? Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. A way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. I just described to you a people where the righteousness of God is missing. Let me say this to you this morning. Doesn't matter who we are in this room. If we're saved by the grace of God, then we're going to heaven because of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not going because of our righteousness. The Bible said that all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Amen. Let me just say this. There was a time when all of us were in this category where righteousness was missing. We were a sinner. We were good at it. Amen. And what God has drilled down in my heart after what's happened in recent days, the shootings that have taken place in different places. It's the grace of our living Lord that it's not worse than it is. Because this world is full of unrighteousness, full of wickedness. The problem is not a mechanism. There are all kinds of mechanisms that you can use, beloved. Let me tell you, the problem is the heart. The heart is without peace. The heart is full of wickedness. And the Word of God uses the law of God to convince men that they're guilty before God. You and I that are saved this morning ought to shout that there was a day came in our life when the blessed Holy Spirit, the judge of the universe, came into our life and said, you're guilty before God and you need to be saved. Nobody ever got saved without being guilty. Beloved, we're guilty. Without the righteousness of God, we're guilty. You see, I'm headed to a wedding. But the Bible teaches if you try to get in that wedding without a garment, you'll not make it. The garment is that righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ that's imputed to us when we trust Christ as our Savior. Righteousness is missing. In this room today, there are individuals where righteousness is missing. You say, preacher, how can you say that? Well, beloved, without Christ, there's no righteousness. The Word of God said there's no peace. The way of peace they have not known. Destruction and misery are in their ways. Beloved, it's the grace of God that every one of us not in prison for the rest of our life. Wickedness is prevalent in the world. But the only solution for wickedness is righteousness. Righteousness is missing. The second thing I want you to see is righteousness is manifested. Look what the Bible said in verse number 21. But now, aren't you glad for the little word but in the Bible? It gives us a dark scene, a dark world, a day when our hearts were darkened by sin. But God, who is rich in mercy, moved in on our heart and on our life. The Word of God said here, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. God is making us to know, Jew, Gentile, it doesn't matter. Old or young, it doesn't matter. Black or white, it doesn't matter. Intelligent or not intelligent, it does not matter. Beloved, listen, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There was a common problem. And thank God at Calvary, God has a common solution. That's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have a wedding garment. I'm going to a wedding. You see, God's people are the bride. God's Son, Christ, is the groom. And it's all because of a righteousness that's imputed, imparted to us by faith. By faith. Beloved friend, the Word of God is talking about the blood here. If you look in verse number 25, in propitiation, he sent him to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. The only way I can stand here today and say I know that I know that I know that heaven will be my home when I leave this world is because it's not my righteousness that's in the balance. It's His. His righteousness has been applied in my life. And beloved, because of that, I have peace in my heart. And I know that heaven will be my home when I leave this world. I know this morning that God has plans that we know not of. And I believe with all of my heart this morning, someone is sitting in this building. You know beyond a shadow of a doubt, if you breathed your last breath today, you're in trouble with a holy God. So I think we've forgotten in America to preach the righteousness of God, the holiness of God. Beloved, you would say, well, what does God think of sin? Look at the cross. Look at his son hanging there and bleeding and dying. The Bible said he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Beloved friend, God hates sin. And I'll tell you, the only way to overcome unrighteousness is through the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, this morning, God's speaking to some heart. I believe that with all of my heart, God is saying to someone, you know you're in trouble. You know if you died today, you're not ready to meet God. You know that Jesus is coming. You know that Jesus paid the price on Calvary. You know all these things. What have you done with him? Let me show you a verse of scripture, and I'm done this morning. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 32, verse number 17. I believe it is. I made a little note in the margin of my Bible. Isaiah chapter 32 this morning, please. And I believe it's verse number 17 I want to look at. Isaiah 32, verse number 17. The Bible said, and the work of righteousness shall be peace. You say, preacher, how can I tell if righteousness, God's righteousness, has worked in my heart and in my life? One word, peace. Peace. Oh, hallelujah. There was a night in my life, a day, that evening at Landmark Baptist Church, when I had no peace. I knelt in an old-fashioned altar of prayer and I came up with peace that passes all understanding. I had no hope. I was without God and without hope in the world. But I came up from an old-fashioned altar of prayer. Say, preacher, what'd you pray? Don't have a clue. Don't remember. It's not important what I prayed. It's what's important is who I trusted. What's important is that I saw myself, the great old big sinner, and I saw Jesus, a bigger Savior than the sinner was, able to reach way below the bottom for me that night. Write my name. Praise God. Hallelujah. The effect of righteousness, the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, watch this now, and assurance. I like these last words too, forever. God didn't just give me something that night that's going to last a day or two, but the effect of righteousness, hallelujah, lasts forever. That means if I'm in an ICU ward, or if I'm on the third floor at Wilcox Hall, and I'm fixing to breathe my last breath, the effect of righteousness will be right there with me. Quietness and peace. That's why, Brother Preston, you know you saw it. Brother Sam, so many others in this building have watched your loved ones ease out of this world into their real home. And what we were looking at was the effect of righteousness. Not dying, boasting in themselves, but boasting in a Savior. Went to Calvary, gave his life. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not claim the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. If you'll meet me in heaven, I'll sing that for you. I'll let you play for me, Miss Laura, and I'll sing. Amen. In heaven, not now. Amen. Come on, honey. We're getting ready to give the invitation. Come on, brother. I think Laura thought God just gave me a glorified voice box. Amen. Let me ask you something this morning. The Bible said right there, the work of righteousness shall be peace. Let me tell a little story, and I'll quit. I've told the story before, and I'll tell it again. It didn't even come to me until I just read the word peace. How many of y'all remember the story about my cousin Bob? Not my son-in-law, Bob. My cousin Bob. How many remembers that story? Okay, I'll refresh your memory. You'll remember it. I got saved on Sunday night. On Tuesday night, I wanted to go out and tell somebody what Jesus had done for me. And God put my first cousin on my heart, Bob. Bob wasn't an educated fella. He really wasn't a farm boy. I went and told Bob what Jesus had done for me. He let me take a Bible, brother, and show him that we've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. He let me take the Bible and teach him that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He let me take the Bible and show him that if we trust Jesus, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And old Bob didn't know a whole lot, but he knew a couple of things that night. He knew he was a sinner. He knew he didn't have any peace, Brother Thurman. And he got down and made an altar out of an old coffee table in an old farmhouse. He called on the God of heaven. God saved him that night. I don't like to leave people just after they get saved. I like to try to help them to understand that you feel great right now, but in the morning you may not feel so great. And salvation ain't about feelings. I heard Brother Jack a little while back on a tape. He said, sometimes I feel saved. He said, sometimes I don't. Amen. I said, Bob, I want to show you a verse of scripture here in the Bible. Look here, Bob. Bob had his head right in there in the Bible with me. I said, it says right here, 1 John chapter 5, verse number 13, I believe it is. These things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have. I said, what's that say right there, Bob? And when I turned and looked at Bob, he had his head laid back on the couch. He said, peace. I said, Bob, look at the Bible with me. I want you to see what it says right here in the Bible. Look right here. Bob's got his head right in there with me. I said, it says, these things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have what? It's quiet. I look. He got that head laid back. He said, peace. I said, Bob, would you look at the Bible? I want you to see what the Bible said right here. These things, he's got his head right in there with me. These things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have what? And this time that word peace was about four syllables. He said, peace. I closed my Bible and said, forget it, Bob. You've got peace. And that's all matters. I was trying to get him to see that God gives us eternal life. But honey, let me tell you something. Peace comes with eternal life. And eternal life comes with peace. You can't separate them. Oh, beloved friend, be at peace. The work of righteousness shall be peace. And the effect of righteousness shall be quietness and assurance forever. Some people say, well, you sound boastful. You know you're going to heaven. I am. I'm bragging on the Savior that gave me a righteousness that'll get the job done. It's It's not my righteousness. It's His. Do you have peace? Do you have peace? How many can remember when God gave you peace? When that load was lifted. When that guilt was gone. When you knew for the first time in your life there was nothing between you and Him. What a blessed day. What a blessed day. Let's pray together. Our Father, I have no idea, Lord, even really how to close the service out. God, I know this. Every individual in this auditorium that does not have that peace, I know, Lord, I know that you want them to have that peace. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God, I pray today that someone would just get tired of sin, get tired of self, get tired of the rags of self-righteousness, and be robed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you today for a salvation that's full, a salvation that's free. Lord, it's free to us, but it's not cheap. It cost your Son his life. Father, it cost you your Son. God, today, it is my prayer that this morning someone would just say, it's enough. I want peace in my heart and in my life. There's two things that I'd like to see this morning. Lord, I'd like to see people that have that peace. Just thank you for it. Praise you for it. Lord, I'd like to see someone that doesn't have that peace come and ask you for it. Lord, save this morning to the uttermost. That one that's nearest the flames of an eternal hell, deliver them, we pray.